Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
I can see. I was just curious. They're usually on.
It's because my phone is on instead of chatting. But that's because I'm going to give it to you for the meeting.
Yeah. The meeting's on Thursday.
Oh, it's not today?
It's Thursday. Today's Wednesday. Today is Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. That's fine. I can see just fine. Okay. Let's chant 10, 11, 10, 11, and 12.
Ittam Satchit Paranandaha.
Ittam Satchit Paranandaha.
Atma Yuktya Tata Vidham.
Atma yuktya tata vidam.
Param brahma tayoschaikyam.
Param brahma tayoschaikyam.
Shrutyante shupadishyate.
Shrutyante shupadishyate.
Adhanena param prema.
Adhanena param prema. Bhane na vishaye spraha.
Ato bhane pyabhata sau.
Ato bhane pyabhata sau.
Paramananda tatmanaha.
Paramananda tatmanaha.
Adyetra vargamadhyastha.
Adyetra vargamadhyastha. Putra jayana shabdavat.
Bhanetya bhanam bhanasya.
Bhanetya bhanam bhanasya.
Pratibandhena yujyate.
Pratibandhena yujyate.
So repeat after me. Ittam.
Ittam.
Sat. Chit.
Sat.
Chit.
Chit.
Para anandaha.
Para anandaha.
Sat. Chit. Para anandaha. Atma.
Atma.
Yuktya.
Yuktya.
Tata vidham.
Tata vidham.
Param brahma.
Param brahma.
Tayoho.
Tayoho.
Cha.
Cha.
Aikyam.
Aikyam.
Shruti.
Shruti.
Anteshu.
Anteshu.
Upadishyate.
Upadishyate.
Abhane.
Abhane.
Na param prema.
Na param prema.
Bhane.
Bhane.
Na vishayes braha.
Na vishayesvraha.
Ato bhane.
Ato bhane.
Pyabhatasa.
Pyabhatasa.
Ato bhane.
Ato bhane.
Api.
Api.
Abhata.
Abhata.
Asau.
Asau.
Paramananda.
Paramananda.
Tatmanaha.
Tatmanaha.
Okay. I forgot, I was just going to go through and keep reading. Sorry. Okay. Anyway. Okay. having established in the previous couple of verses, he now says, he reiterates saying that having done this. So he says, ittam. Ittam, in this manner, satchit paranandaha atma. The self, which is satchit paranandaha, or the self, I say like this, the self, which is satchit paranandaha, yuktya, by logic, we say like this. To put it in a good English. In this way, by logic, yuktya, through logic, the Atma has been established logically. You've seen logically, yuktya, that the Atma is the Satchit Parananda. That is the Lakshana for the Atma. So we've gone through in these last seven verses, actually. In the last seven verses, we've gone through, try to establish logically that the self is Sat, Chit, Ananda. So there are a few verses on Sat, some verses on Chit, and some verses on Ananda. So even in this little foreword to the verse, it says, Etahi Satabihi Shlokaihi. By these seven verses, preceding seven verses, Pratipaditam artam sankshipya darshyati. Having in brief revealed this meaning, this lakshana, the nature of the self as the satchiratma, the satchirananda atma. For having briefly discussed this, taught this in the last seven verses, now he says darshyati, he's going to now kind of show it again or teach it again. Having given this seven verse little synopsis, he's now going to teach it again with more detail. So the first line of the verse is, so this is just the beginning, ittam satchit parananda atma. So ittam, in this way, the atma, logically, yuktya, is, you have seen that the satchit paranandaha logically is the Atma through the use of logic. And then tatavidam, similarly, in the same manner, param brahma, in the same way, param brahma is the satchit Atma. So you have to go back. This is in the Sanskrit for Vidyaranya. His Sanskrit is quite terse. Sometimes there's a lot of things left out. They're just by implication. So you have to get used to his Sanskrit of style as style. So what he says here, like this tatavidam, so it goes in the same way, param brahma. So the first part says, ittam, in this way, the satchit parananda, logically, has been established, logically, as the self, as the atma. Similarly, param brahma has been established, logically, as the self. You have to go back. And then it says, tayoho cha aikim. And the identity of these two, right? So the identity that aham brahmasmi, tat tvamasi, the identity between myself and Brahman, shruti anteshu, in the end of the shruti, in the final, let's say the shruti are the four Upanishads, there are the four Vedas. What comes at the end of the four, so the shruti is the four Vedas. What comes at the end of the Shruti, or at the end of each one of the Vedas, are the Upanishads. So here it says, Shrutyanteshu Upadishyate. This identity between the two, between Atma and Brahman, is taught at the end of the Vedas, which are the Upanishads. The Upanishads are located at the end of the Vedas. Okay, so now, there's something that I'm sure in one of these next few verses, but it is going to come up in the text. And that is that to gain knowledge of something, okay, first of all, the experience has to be there. Like, say there's no experience of what you're talking about, then that would be difficult. talking about this, but there's nothing to hook it onto at all. There's no experience. So that experience is the anubhava. The knowledge has to be related to something which is known by you, which is experienced by you. So that anubhava is very important. Secondly, or firstly, there has to be a pramana that reveals that. There has to be a pramana, a means of knowledge. And so here the pramana is the Upanishad, so the Upanishad pramana. Yeah, the Shabda pramana, the Upanishad pramana. So it could be, we could be talking about something in the world, and then it could be the pramana is sense perception, or the pramana is inference, but there has to be some means of knowledge that is responsible for that experience. So there's the anubhava, the pramana, and then there's also what we call yukti. So the anubhava yukti, anubhava pramana, these three are necessary for knowledge to take place. Say it's just something in your mind, you think it's this way. Well, you can just, how are you going to establish that? You know, does anybody else have an experience of what you're thinking in your mind? Does it correlate with any of the means of knowledge that you have? You know, is it a shared experience? What is the pramana for it? Logic, all of these things need to be there for a person to really be able to see, to recognize, to know, to understand. And so here, he's bringing in some of these points. He's bringing in the yukti. So, and he's also bringing in the shruti pramana. You know, these things which I am teaching you now with all of this logic, you know, is also what is taught by the shruti in the shruti. That means that because the shruti is viewed as the pramana for this vision. Yourself is here, you know, the self is here, so the anubhava is here. The experience of ananda, the experience of existence, the experience of consciousness, the sat-chit paramatma, this paramananda, the sat-chit ananda, this is all anubhava. You can't say, well, consciousness, I've never experienced anything like consciousness. What do you mean by consciousness? Existence, what is that? No, we have the experience of consciousness. We have the experience of existence. We have the experience of ananda, you know. And so these things are not, and we have the experience of myself. It may be muddled in ignorance. That doesn't matter. That's the problem to be solved. The ignorance has to be removed in reference to these experiences that are so well known to us. So the anubhava, the experience itself, is certainly there. The logic also has to be there. A valid means of knowledge has to be there. And so here, the anubhava we have, he's been giving the yukti, the logic, and now also he's bringing in the shruti. Everything that, so it's important too, it's like everything that we've said up to this point, you know, is backed by the pramana, the shruti. And in fact, you have to go more extreme here just a minute. Let me see. This is the new one. Oh, there we go. Okay. So the pramana twama, the shruti has to be accepted. That has to be understood. The shraddha, you have to have shraddha for the we did it at the very beginning in Tattvabodha. That shraddha for the Upanishads and for the Acharya has got to be there, as functioning as a pramana, you know. And to be there for the student to, you have shraddha in that initially, that shraddha converts itself into jnana as the pramana works, but the pramana has to be utilized. So assuming that shraddha is there, then the pramana is backing all of the logic, and every one of these verses is being backed by that shruti pramana. So one thing to remember here also is the Upanishads are the primary pramana, the Vedas. They're the shruti, right? The primary pramana. The Bhagavad Gita, and so we're called the Upanishads, are the pramana, are the means of knowledge. The Bhagavad Gita is praised as an Upanishad. It's not an Upanishad because it comes from the mouth of Krishna in the middle of the battlefield. You know, so it's, but it's praised as a pramana because coming from the mouth of Krishna. All of the Prakarna Granthas like this are considered to be, these Prakarna Granthas are considered to be in line with the Upanishads, to have the same vision of the Upanishads. That's important. The Bhagavad Gita does not say anything different from the Upanishads. The Brahma Sutras, with that which analyzes the Upanishads, doesn't say anything different. So all of these have the same tatparya, the same essence. They're using the same prakriyas, the same logics. Sometimes the drishtantas will be different, the illustrations will be different, but the vision is exactly the same. The logics that are used also, you know, there can be more logics, but the fundamental logics and prakriyas are all the same in all of these. And so that being so, the Prakarna Granthas, the Bhagavad Gita, also along with the Upanishads, are viewed as a pramana, as a means of knowledge, because they are teaching exactly the same thing, using the same prakriyas that the Upanishads are using. So we have the pramana. Here this is being utilized as a pramana. But he says, you know, he says, all of this param brahma tayoho, the param brahma also is this satchit paramananda. And there's a tayoho, aikin, there's an identity between the two, which is what is revealed by the Upanishads. So what now we have the Shruti, Yukti, Anubhava. Right? So those three words are important in terms of understanding what's involved, of really gaining knowledge. You know, the mind has to understand it. It has to have the logic. Why couldn't it be this way? This is what the Shruti says, but why couldn't it be this way? Or it can be, that's manana. Or the Shruti, or you can be reading the text and one person, because Sanskrit being what it is, can say, no, the Sanskrit says this. It says, atat tvamasi. You're not that. Atat, you know, negates the tat. This is one of Swamiji's arguments in explaining this. The Sandhi can be such that you could read it as atat tvam asi. You are not that. Okay, so that has to be analyzed. There has to be logic. You have to see what comes before and what comes after. What is the theme that runs all the way through? There's analysis that has to go on. Because otherwise your mind could say, well, it could mean this also. Couldn't the verse mean this? And then there's a whole analysis that goes on into what a verse is actually saying. And really, this is one of the primary tasks of the Brahma Sutras. The Brahma Sutras picks out line by line, word by word, of all of the major Upanishads that could possibly be misinterpreted, and then does a whole analysis on that. Then it also goes through all of the things, all the different ways it could be, like, why do you say there's only one Atma? Why couldn't there be many Atmas? Why not? Why are you so certain of that? What's the logic for that? Because I think there could be many Atmas. Sankhya Yoga thinks there could be many Atmas. So why should we say there's only one Atma? So that requires, you know, that's a legitimate question to have, and it requires an answer. And that answer involves yukti. It involves not only anubhava, you know, the using, you recognizing your experience and then applying logic to your experience and then backing that up by the vision of the Shruti. So he's bringing this here, saying this, that now that we've briefly analyzed the Satchit Paramananda as the nature of the Atma and also as the nature of the of Param Brahma, therefore there's got to be an identity between the two because they're both the same in terms of their swarupa, in terms of their nature, and that is the vision which is being taught by all the Upanishads. Okay. So now we have to go on a little more deeply into this. So keep it free. Abhane.
Abhane.
Na param prema.
Na param prema.
Vane.
Vane.
Na vishaye spraha.
Na vishaye spraha.
Attaha.
Attaha.
Vane.
Vane.
Api.
Api.
Abhata.
Abhata.
Asau.
Asau.
Parama.
Parama.
Anandata.
Anandata.
Atmanaha.
Atmanaha.
Okay, so this is nice. There's a question, you know, like, if you're talking about myself and my own nature, me, you know, then what is the problem? If I am the Satchitatma, if I am Satchitananda, shouldn't I clearly know that I am Satchitananda? Why shouldn't I know? Because it's me. So that's the start of this question. So it's interesting what they say here. So he says, what he says is this. Abhane na, or what, abhane, just take like this. Abhane, then na paramprema. If myself is not, abhane means is not known. It's what about myself is not known. That I am the parama ananda. If that is my nature, right? But but it's not shown, abhane, that nature is unknown. So take bhana and abhana as just being known, unknown. So abhane, when that is not known, right, then that I am the ananda, when I don't know that, if that's not known, then what? Na param prema. There is no supreme or supreme love for that self if I don't know, right? If I don't know myself as Parama Ananda, you know, Parama Ananda, then how can I have supreme love for it? That's not possible. Because what I love is Ananda. And say the absolute Ananda is being said to be myself. But then if I don't know myself, then I won't have that love for myself. That makes sense. Okay. But and then he says, Bane na. But, bon, just take bane. But if it is known, if this Paramananda is known as my own self, so bane, when it is known as myself, is understood, na vishaye spraha. I'll have no love or liking or attachment toward the vishayas, toward the objects. If I know I'm ananda, that the ananda is myself, then if that's known, then why would I have any attachment toward anything in the world when I know that the ananda is my own being, when that is known? If I don't know, then how can I have supreme love for it? If I do know, then of course, why would I have any attachment or love for, desire for objects in the world? So what he says now is, attaha, therefore, Bane epi abhata asal paramanandatatmanaha. He says, therefore, this paramanandatatmanaha, this my own nature of being the paramanandatatmanaha, therefore, the myself having for my own nature this paramananda, this limitless ananda, this nirupadika ananda. Nirupadika ananda means an ananda that is not limited by any upadi whatsoever. Whether it be the whole creation, the whole time-space creation, or the jiva upadis of the body, mind, sense organs, it has no limitation. It's desha, kala, vastu, aparichedaha. It's parama. It's not limited in any way. So it says, if that self isn't known, then how can I have supreme love for myself? But if it is known, then how can I have all this love for, how can I have this love for the objects? And they say, true enough. So, attaha, therefore, this asau paramanandata atmanaha, this nature of the self as being parama ananda, this limitless, deshakalavastu aparichedaha anandaha, this limitless, the limitless, most exalted love that of the self, parama anandata atmanaha, so myself being limitless ananda, this, even though being known, bhane api,
even though it is known, abhata, it is not known. It is both known and it is not known. So even though I know, I don't know. And that is the condition that we find ourselves in. Okay, so now, there's going to be a few verses on this. Let's do the next verse with this, with the example, and then I will be working on both of these verses together because they're very related. So we'll do these two verses together. We'll look at the example first. Did we chant it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. That's right. Ajetra,
Ajetra,
Varga,
Varga,
Madhya,
Madhya,
Sta,
Sta,
Putra,
Putra,
Ajayana,
Ajayana,
Shabda,
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 Bhane,
Bhane,
Api,
Api,
Abhanam,
Abhanam,
Bhanasya,
Bhanasya,
Pratibandhena,
Pratibandhena,
Yujyate,
Yujyate.
So they give an example of this phenomena of something being both known and unknown. So here in the first, let's look at the example and then we'll move to do some of these verses all together. Here, the first line is the example. Ajetra Varga Se. We're going to use this Ajayanam and Ajetra. Ajetra is being a chanter, someone who chants, someone who recites the Vedas. So we're going to just think of them as some, say there's a group of students and they're all together, they're chanting. So it says, Ajetra Varga, a group of chanters, students, which we're adding the students because as the story goes, a group of them, they're Ajetras, they're students who are chanting. Madhyastaha, Putra, Ajayana Shabdavat. So now I'm in this group of chant, standing amidst this group of students who are chanting. There's this, so it says, this is the vat at the ending. So just like the sound of the shabda, of the adhyayana, of the chanting of the sun. So say these students are performing, they're a group of them, they're all chanting together, and the father in the distance is sitting in the audience, he's hearing them all chanting together, but he's trying to hear his son chanting. Okay? So he says, just like the sound of the chanting of the son who's standing in the middle of the group of chanters, right? So here they are, a group of 20 people all chanting together beautifully. There's the son. He sees the son. And he can only kind of make out, okay? So when it says, bane api abhanam, so even though he hears the son chanting, it's also abhanam. He doesn't really hear the sun chanting. He hears the sun chanting, but he can't really distinguish the sound of the sun's chanting from all of the chanters that are singing in harmony, right? Singing together. So he hears, and he can see the lips and everything moving, so he hears it, but not by himself. So he hears it only ensconced in the group of the students that are chanting. So like that, abhane api bhanam. So in this case, as well as in reference to your own self, even though it is known, it is not known. So think of the chanting child. So even though bhane api, even if it is known, or even when it is known, it is abhanam. Why? Bhanasya pratibandhena yujate. Because that voice in this case is united with a pratibandha. A pratibandha is an obstruction that stops you from really being able to pinpoint the sound of that sun. And the obstruction is all of the other kids, children that are chanting right together with him when he's in the middle. That situation stops the father. He knows the son is there. He sees the son chanting. He kind of hears him, but not really, because he's lost in he's lost amidst the crowd of chanters, right? So he both knows and he doesn't know. He knows generally, but he doesn't have that vishesha jnanam. He doesn't know particularly. And so it both is known, bhanam, means it both presents itself to you, and abhanam, it doesn't. It's both very clear, very clearly recognized, and it's not recognized. Both are there. And so this, what is stopping this, because the chanting is there, the sun is there, the chanting is there, his voice is there, but it's too intermixed with the other kids. That intermixing is what we call the paribandha, sometimes called paribandhika. That's an obstruction that stops him from being able to hear his child chanting as his child. Okay, he's not able to hear it. Now here, we're talking about the Satchitatma. So it says here, going back to this verse 11, Abhane na param prema. If myself is not known at all, then there's no absolute love for it. But if it if it were known, okay, if it's not known, there's parama prema is not there. If it is known, then there's no love for the vishaya. Okay. So therefore, even though it is known, it is not known. Okay. So this has to be kind of unwound. So what is it? The parama anandata of the Atma. The recognition of the nature of myself as the parama ananda. If it's parama ananda, then there's nothing I love more than myself, because there's nothing that I love more than happiness, my own happiness, anybody's happiness, my happiness. And so if I am the parama ananda, then there's nothing I really love more than myself. Right? If I know that, then no problem. If I know that, then I don't have an attraction for all these vishayas. So there's some sort of a confusion that is taking place there. And then the question is in the commentary, is that even possible? That you can know something and at the same time not know something? And so he says, he introduces the verse that we just did. Do you mean, are you worried that there's no example, that we have no example of this? Or is it that it's logically impossible? What is the concern? And then he said, well, the first one, there's no problem, because we do have an example of it. We do have an example, you know, of both knowing and not knowing, of there being a paribandhika, of there being something there that stops you from the recognition of, even in vyavahara, even in this empirical reality, things can happen, like this group of singers, that stop you from knowing directly what your son sounds like, you know. So that's the example. Let me see how many verses I have to include before I really get into this. So this, I'll do this before we, there's two other verses we have to do, but I'll talk a little bit about this for now. When we say anubhava, yukti anubhava, and yukti anubhava, and the shruti, the anubhava is the experience. Okay? Now this is the situation for all of us, is that the experience of existence is here. There's no question about it. It is. I am. So the experience of existence is pervasive, but it's always experienced within the creation along with something. So for instance, I exist means my body, mind, sense organs exists. So like the existence is the one voice that's competing with all of these other things that have been given existence. So for instance, because we view existence through the lens of this creation and everything in it, the everything in it gets the existence. It is, it is, it is, it is. So existence itself, being itself, is without knowledge, not aparoksha jnanam. Being itself is aparoksha, means it is self-evident. Right? So we don't even need any kind of pramana for existence. Existence itself, the experience of existence, is self-evident. But the problem is, it's aparoksha, self-evident, but we don't have aparoksha jnanam of it. And so the existence that we experience is in the form of all objects, time, space, all objects within the creation. And it is pervasive to space. It's pervasive to the clocking of time. It's pervasive to absolutely every experience we have inside and out. So you can't say that existence is not known. It is known, you know. But even if you say, I am, what if I say to you, I don't think you exist? You don't really exist, do you? You go, are you being rude? Or what are you saying? Of course I exist. I am. I exist. So that existence, that experience of existence, is aparoksha. You do know that you exist. You also know that you are conscious. You know, of course I'm conscious. I'm an existent, conscious being. I'm not inert. Are you sure? Of course I'm sure I'm not inert. Well, you know, sometimes your body, when your body is dead, it's inert. Well, I'm not talking about that body. I'm talking about me, this person here. I am an inert, I am an existent, conscious being. And that is my anubhava. That is my experience. And then everybody else in the room can say, well, I am too. I'm an existent, conscious being. And all the little animals can say, yeah. And all the worms, yes, I'm an existent, conscious being. We're all existent, conscious beings. But, you know what? The floor isn't. And this isn't. And so a dead body isn't. You know? And so I am an existent, conscious being right now. And I know that you are too, because you are like me, so you must be, and you're alive, so you must be also an existent conscious being. But there's not conscious being between us. And so there are little dots of conscious being, you know. Everything in a big, huge sweep is, enjoys existence, and then we have these little dots of conscious being walking around in the upadis that have sukshma shariras. So it's not that I don't have the aparoksha, that existence and consciousness are not aparoksha. That means I don't need a pramana to prove to me that I am conscious. I don't need to turn around my eyes, screw my eyes up and turn around and look at consciousness. I don't need to do that. It's not necessary. Because my being, my existence, my amness and my consciousness are well known, obvious. I don't require a pramana for it. I am swatta siddha, self-evident, even with the ajnana, you know? Because even though I take my existence and consciousness to belong to or have some uncertain relationship with this body or with the sukshma sharira, you know, and then if it is really kind of a phenomena of this physical body, an epiphenomenon of this body, you know, then it'll die. The consciousness, my being and consciousness will die. But I certainly have this experience. It is known to me, my ananda, that I have ananda. I've experienced ananda, you know. I've experienced myself as happy. You know, when I'm happy or when I feel so full and complete, I don't experience that as somebody else being full and complete. It is me. Now, even when I fulfill a desire, I have the direct, immediate experience of myself being whole and complete. That's why fulfilling these desires works so well, you know, because I benefit from that. Even if it's only momentarily, I know what it means for me to be whole, to be complete, to be full. I've had that experience. But these experiences, the Sat-Chit Ananda, which is myself, are it is only partially known. It's not aparoksha jnanam of the Atma. It's that I am aparoksha. Consciousness is aparoksha. It doesn't require anything else. It's swatta siddha, you know. It's self-evident. My consciousness is self-evident. When I am happy, that is self-evident. So you can't ever say that you don't know or you don't have any experience of yourself. Oh, no anubhava is there. That isn't true. It is definitely there. The problem here is not a crowd of chanters. The problem here is the ajnanam that the individual upadis suffer from. The individual minds suffer from that beginningless ajnanam that does what? It causes this mind to take itself to be me. And this mind, taking itself, because it's located in the body, takes itself to be the body. The mind is located in the body, and the sense of touch goes through the body. And so this body enjoys consciousness. This body enjoys existence. My mind enjoys consciousness. My mind enjoys existence. And I'm also happy some of the time. I am whole and complete some of the time. That's one of the big tricks of samsara. Because I experience ways, I have ways and tricks to make me happy. Ways and tricks and means, fulfilling desires, taking a walk in nature, listening to some beautiful music, going to sleep. Lots of things we have available to us so that I can be happy. Not somebody else, that I can be happy. So the Sat-Chit-Ananda, I both know very well, because that is my experience. But I also don't know. I don't know. I don't know that this consciousness that I am is the consciousness of Ishvara. I don't know that this consciousness that I am, this me, this conscious being, is the consciousness of all beings. That it is that my consciousness, my being, is free from time. That the whole universe is mitya and rests in me. That this existence that I experience as I am is a timeless, changeless existence, which is the adhishtana of the whole creation. That this knownness, this self-evident conscious being that I am, is the consciousness which lends itself to the entire creation in the form of it is known, it is known, it is known, it is known. That I don't know that. I know that I am a conscious being. And I don't know either that I am the ananda which is manifest in every shantavritti. I don't know that. All I know is that sometimes I am happy. And when I am really happy, not ba-la-la-la, not that kind of happy. The happiness of wholeness, the happiness of being myself, of being all is well with me. I know that is me. And I know that's how I'm supposed to be. And I know ways of trying to simulating that by fulfilling desires, or even as you get more assimilating your experience by giving to others, by helping people. You know, these are the more subtle things that give me a deeper sense of happiness, by being committed to Dharma, by having Ishvara be part of my. I'm not talking about knowledge. If we discover ways to bring, even though we don't know this, we discover ways to create a more of a shanta, long-lasting shantavritti. That there's more of a long-lasting shantavritti, which is kind of the baseline of my mind. Because of Dharma, because of the value for giving and caring and helping others and all that, the baseline of your shanti becomes a little bit more stable. If the shantavrittis are only really gained by fulfilling externalized desires, it's like a roller coaster ride. But if the shanti is gained through Dharma, caring for others, loving for others, all of these things, we learned that, then the shanti is much more stable, and therefore your ongoing sense of ananda is much more stable. It's not stable, but it's much more stable. It has to be maintained, because you can have so much shanti and one little piece of a dharma and the clear glassy lake has been, where this has that stone has dropped in it, you know, or a pile of mud has dropped in it. That's when the Buddha says, when the mud drops in it, you just chill out for a while. You just stay still. Let it sink back down in. What I'm saying is that this wholeness of my being, those glimpses, those profound glimpses of the completeness, the beauty, the wholeness of my being, we've all had that. We've just had to have known how to hang on to it. But you know. And the existence that your being is much more stable. But you don't know if it'll still be here when you die. Your consciousness also is much more stable. But you know that as you grow older, your capacities start to falter. And then when the body dies, you have no idea really. And so you know yourself, and you don't know yourself. You know? It's a, sometimes we use an example of that where you know yourself. Like the rope snake is one example. When if somebody's walking by and they have a glimpse of the rope, a glimpse of the rope in the dusk, they only don't see the ropeness of the rope. But they do see all of the bends of the rope, the diameter of the rope, the length of the rope. They have that experience of the rope, but miss the ropeness of the rope. So it's both known and not known. In general, the form, shape, and all that, that is known. But that it's a rope is not known. You know? And so it can appear as a snake. So I have the same situation here, you know? My existence, my being is known. But this body is superimposed on it. And this body is finite and subject to birth and death. Right? And so the isness, the being is known, it's self-evident, you know, it's not even objectifiable, it's self-showing, it is known, but this body is superimposed on it. The ananda, the wholeness is known, but what is superimposed upon it? The mind with all of its emotions. You know, and so when the mind settles down and the mind has a shantavritti, yeah, okay, I feel like myself. But that's only momentary because, you know, the emotions come like a tidal wave, and take that away from me, you know, until that knowledge takes place, that there's a viveka, that even if the tidal waves come, you are there illumining the tidal wave. That's a wonderful thing. Well, look at what a big tidal wave. Swamiji Vaigishananda always talks about the weather. Right? Wow, this weather is really something. Enjoy the weather. Be with the weather. That's because you have differentiated yourself from the weather. You don't take yourself to be the weather. You know the weather. That's the problem. If you can enjoy the weather, it's because you know the weather. If you can enjoy the salt and pepper of life and all the comings and goings and all the punya and papa, all the sukha and dukkha that make up a life, if you can enjoy that and be with it, it's because you are with it. It's not that you are it. But ajnanam, avidya, is responsible, really, if that is our culprit here, is the avidya that where I both know myself and I don't know myself. So I Swamiji will often joke and say, total ignorance is bliss. Partial ignorance is a real problem. Like, say I go to sleep, total ignorance. So then just the swarupa ananda, that my own being is just what's shining without any subject-object differentiation. There's nothing there to create any trouble for me. So I just get to totally relax in that total ignorance. But when I wake up, it's no longer total ignorance. It's partial ignorance. Here I am. I'm a conscious being. I exist. And sometimes I am ananda. Sometimes I get to experience the wholeness of myself, and I know that's me. But then it keeps falling away from me. And so when this is the condition, this known and unknown, then we have a problem. We have a problem that has to be solved. And so in this verse 12, he introduces the word pratibandhaka. The pratibandhaka, in terms of the chanters, is that the chanting takes place in a group of chanters. and so you can't distinguish yourself from the group. As we'll see, what is the Pratibandhika for me? What is my Pratibandhika? And that is avidya. But let's first, give us a definition of Pratibandha. What is a Pratibandha? So repeat it for me. Pratibandha.
Pratibandha.
Yeah, this is 13. Pratibandha. Asti.
Asti.
Bhati. Iti. Vyavahara. Parha. Vastuni. Tam. Nirasya. Virudhasya. Tasya. Utpadanam. Uchate. So, Pratibandha, this is the thing. What is a Pratibandha? Pratibandha means obstruction. So, how are we defining this word that can translate as obstruction? This word Pratibandha. He says, Asti Bhati Iti. It is known. Asti Bhati. It is known. We say it is known, and from Bhati really means it presents itself. But it presents itself because my mind has a vritti of it and brings consciousness to it. But so we say, it is, asti, vati, it is known. Iti, these two things. Vyavahara arha vastuni. This asti, vati are always there in reference to any vastu, any object, which is deemed as belonging to vyavahara. So vyavahara means this empirical reality that we experience called Ishwar's creation. Ishwar Srishti is vyavahara. So in this vyavahara, we can say, you know, everything in this has astibha. It is. That's when there's no Pratibandhika. If there's no Pratibandhika, there's something here which I am aware of, and if I'm aware of it and there's no obstruction, then I can say, yes, this thing is, right? And it is known. Okay. Every object in vyavahara is like that. If I come across it, it is, and it is known. Unless there's some sort of an obstruction. So here he says, what do we mean by Pratibandha? The first thing, well, it's going to be in reference to any, first of all, in any object in vyavahara, in empirical reality. Normally it should say it is, or it is, and it is known. If there's a Pratibandha there, then it says, tan nirasya, having negated that. In other words, I no longer, because of the Pratibandha, I no longer see whatever it is as it being there and being known. There's an obstruction that stops that from being so. So now he says, tam nirasya, having obstructed that, having negated that, virudasya tasya upadanam, there is the arising or the birth of something, of that which is opposed to it. You know? That which is not it is virudha, is takes it away. Then you say, no, that does not exist, that is not so. And if the thing is, because that's why I say in the vyavahara, there's something that actually is, but there has come some sort of an obstruction that stops you from recognizing what that is. And that obstruction is called a Pratibandha. That obstruction causes you, when they say this, viruddhasya tasya upadanam, first it's negated somehow, and then the upadanam, there's the arising of that which obstructs, of that what they call virudha, of the opposite. Like you can say, that would allow you to say, no, that is not there. That is there, and it is there really, but the obstruction comes covering that and making you make the determination that no, that is not there, that, you know, or that is not to be heard. So with that definition, so this is called a Pratibandha, he says. So now, this next verse, oh, we have to chant. Let's chant this one.
13.
14.
11, 10, 15.
We did? Yeah. I just taught it. Let's chant it then. Okay. Sorry about that.
Pratibandhosti bhati ti.
Pratibandhosti bhati ti.
Vyavahararha vastuni.
Vyavahararha vastuni.
Tannirasya virudhasya. Tasyodpadanam uchyate.
Next one.
Tasya hetus samana bhi.
Tasya hetus samana bhi.
Arav putra dhamit. Arav putra dvanishrutau.
Arav putra dvanishrutau.
Tasya hetus samana bhi. Arav putra dvanishrutau.
Tasya hetu samana bhi harav putra dvanishrutau.
Ihanadiravidyaiva
vyamohaikanibandhanam.
I'm just going to translate this. We'll do most of it tomorrow, okay? Because it's only six. But Tasya. Hetuhu samana abhiharaha putra dvani shrutau iha anadihi avidya eva vyamoha eka nibandhanam.
Eka
nibandhanam.
Eka
nibandhanam. So here, talking about these pratibandhas, he says, Tasya hetuhu samana abhiharaha putra dvani shrutau. He says, for the pratibandha, the cause for that pratibandha, tasya hetuhu, the cause for that, in the case of the putra dvani shrutau, in the case of the father, and he is trying to hear shrutau, the dvani, the sound of his son. So in that case, in the hearing the sound of the son, the hetu for the cause for that, the cause for that confusion is the samana abhiharaha. That acts as the pratibandha. What is that? The mingling together of all the same. The group of chanters, they're all there together. Samana means all of them are the same. They're mingling together. And so all of these same sounds are coming at once. That acts as the pratibandha for the father to be able to actually hear and distinguish the sound of his son. So he says, in that case, the cause for that is the commingling of all of the same sounds coming from all of the chanters. That's the pratibandha. But then he says, iha, but here, in what we're dealing with here, in reference to the Paramananda, the Satchit Atma, the Paramananda of my own self, here, what is the cause? He says, anadi avidya alone, beginningless avidya, beginningless ignorance alone, vyamoha eka nibandhana, is the sole cause, eka nibandhana, the sole cause of this vyamoha, this ajnanam, this confusion. Vyamoha means a confusion, taking something to be that is absolutely present to be other than what it is. How can you take limitless Satchit Ananda, the Deshakalavastu Aparicheda Ananda, absolutely limitless, absolutely present, the one non-dual being of this entire universe, how can we take that to be other than what it is? Well, it's because of the Maya Upadi. What is the Maya Upadi from the standpoint of Ishwara? It's just an expression of Ishwara, but from your standpoint, what is it? It's Ajnanam. And when did that Ajnanam begin? It didn't begin. It's beginningless. It comes along with the creation, and the creation is beginningless. So this Ajnanam, which is not anything about the Atma, Atma has no Ajnanam, but it has everything to do with the jiva, with the Maya Upadi. It has to do with your antakarana, with the buddhi, which totally enjoys the Satchit Atma and has experiences of ananda, but it is having those experiences. I am the conscious being. I am the existent being. I am happy once in a while. So my being is only experienced from the standpoint of the Upadi through the filter of these upadis. And so therefore, consciousness is speckled here and there and here and there. Existence is time-bound. We only exist for so long. But the consciousness that is recognized is the Satchitatma. The existence that is recognized, I am an existent being, but temporarily, but that existence is the Atma, right? The consciousness is the Atma. It's just that it's seen through the Upadi, and because of Ajnana, the Upadi identifies itself as that. So we have this Anyonya Adhyasa. Also, I can say, oh, this people, this beloved person makes me so happy. But I experience both two things, the Vritti-Ananda and my own wholeness. You know, that wholeness has nothing to do with the vritti that comes and goes. It's nothing to do with it. Even the gradiated ananda has nothing to do with me, except that I am its source, and I am ever-present. But that ever-present nature, the Satchitatma, the ever-present nature, the ananda, ever-present ananda, is not known to me exactly as I am, because of the ajnana, which then thwarts the experience of myself being experienced only in conjunction with the upadis. Okay? So that is the problem. We'll do this a little bit more on this one tomorrow.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Rupyo Namaha Hari Om.